And my name's Greg Moore. I'm the operations pastor here, and so I get this opportunity every now and then. So I'm thrilled to get up here and share a little bit what the Lord has for us today. But Pastor, he's over preaching at our Sango campus. So we have three campuses. We're part of the Living Hope family of churches, if you will. And you're at the Tylertown campus, obviously. And so we're glad you are here. And if you have a copy of God's Word, whether that's a physical Bible, a cell phone, or you want to look at the screen, whatever you want to do, we're going to be in 1 Peter today, 1 Peter chapter 1. So while you're turning there, I'm going to open up my couple of notes that I have to make sure I don't chase any rabbits or not too many rabbits. And we'll get started here. So again, glad that you're here. Also wanted to remind you, if you're prepared to give back to the Lord, we do have tithe boxes in the back for tithes and offerings. You can give online. That information is in your bulletin. Should be maybe on the screen, maybe not, but that's okay too. So again, glad that you're here. As I was thinking about this passage, I was kind of thinking about in my past, and if you know me very well, I know you're going to be shocked by this, but back when I was, I'd say in my late teens, early 20s, sometimes people called me a holy roller, or a term that wasn't quite as endearing as holy roller was holier than thou. And I don't know how you would define that personally, but sometimes I've thought about, why did they say that to me? And I've kind of reflected back upon that a little bit over the years. And it probably came across because maybe at that time, I probably thought I was a little more spiritual than they were. So I guess you could say I had a little spiritual arrogance going on in my life. And I don't know if you've ever encountered anything like that. I don't know if you've ever been that way at all. But that's not how we want to lead our lives as Christians. And that was really a wrong attitude on my part. Now, I think you can be a holy roller where you're so consumed with the things of God, man, that's just how you roll. You know what I mean? You're going through life and you're not worried about what everybody else thinks because your focus is on the Lord Jesus. Your focus is on sharing Christ and things of that nature. But sometimes we have to be very careful. It can move into something more arrogant. So I don't know if that's something you've experienced, but when we live lives unto the Lord, we have to ask ourselves a question: are we living holy roller lives, and what does that look like? And so I titled this message, How Do We Live? And this is based on this passage, 1 Peter 1, 13 through 25. And so we're going to break it down into three sections. I'll read three sections of Scripture, and we'll talk about it. But how do we live what I would call a holy roller life before other people? What does that look like? Have you encountered someone who you thought, man, they are just following the Lord 100%. And maybe you're one of those people. I hope that you are. I hope that I am. But if you go and ask my wife, she'll tell you I'm not holy all the time. Don't look at me like that. And you're not either. Because sometimes I talk to your spouses too. I know how y'all are. So you're like me. Sometimes we just don't act the way that we should. But Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he has something to say about this. So we're going to see what the Bible says. Now remember, Paul wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's a big deal. So in other words, God wrote this book. 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 through 25. Let's read it, see what the Lord has to say. I'm reading out of the American Standard Version. Yours may be a little different, but that's okay. Hang with me if you got a few words that are a little different. So starting in verse 13, therefore, gird your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust, which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Verse 16, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So verse 13 tells us really to get ready for action. This is an action verse. It means you and I are supposed to prepare our lives spiritually so that we can live a holy life before the Lord. And when you break that word down, holy, one of the definitions of that is separate. So ask yourself, are you leading a separate life from the world today? You know, one of the common complaints that non-believers make about people who profess to be Christians is that since they live like everybody else, we can't tell the difference. How does that make you feel? It makes me feel pretty bad. Because if I live a life just like everybody else in the world, I'm not living a holy, separate life unto the Lord. And so if lost people, spiritually lost people out there, can't tell a difference in my life, in what I say, where I go, the actions I do, the things I do, what I'm trying to have my life be all about, then I'm messing up. I've messed up big time because I'm living just like them. So you and I have to be careful that we don't fall into some kind of sinful pattern, some sinful thing that we may be involved in, because what we're doing is we're showing people in the world that Christ has really not changed their lives. So we need to live separate, holy lives before the Lord. He tells us there to fix our hope in verse 13 completely on the grace, and this grace came from Christ. So you and I are to be holy. I mentioned in my prayer that a definition or a phrase that I read years ago about holiness was that God's holiness is burning white hot. Do you know how hot that is? I don't know if you've seen something like a piece of metal in the fire that got so hot it started to turn white. That is super hot. Not all you physicists out there, you probably know the exact temperature that is. I don't know what that is. Doesn't really matter. But it does give us an idea of how burning white hot the holiness of God is. So what does that do to us? I think when we look at this passage, if you read it in its entirety, I think you had a people here that might have been a little confused about what it meant to live a Christian life. Because often what happens is Paul writes a letter to a group of people or a group of churches or a specific church or so on, and you in the audience is usually mixed. You have some Jews who are trying to live under the law. In other words, they're trying to follow the Ten Commandments. And the Jews in that time period especially thought just because they were born a Jew, then they were okay with God. There are people in this country, Americans, who think just because they're born in this country, they're okay with God and they're going to heaven. Well, that's not factual. But this audience also had Gentiles, people who were not Jews. And some of these guys had come to Christ. And they're trying to figure this thing out because they're living in a pagan world, kind of like you and us. You know, you and I, we're doing the same thing. I mean, look what goes on in our world, in our culture, in our town, in our state, in our country, and so on and so forth. So we run into the same kinds of things, but I think sometimes they get a little confused about what does a holy life look like. And so Paul is writing to them and telling them about this faith in Jesus. And because Jesus has defeated sin and death, they can live a victorious, holy life before the Lord. And that's available to me and you. Did you know that's a choice? I choose every day. When I get up in the morning or when I'm eating lunch or whatever I'm doing, I have a choice at that moment. Am I going to lead a holy, sinless life before the Lord? Now, that's easier said than done. We have a sin nature. We fall prey to that sometimes. But I can still make a conscious choice whether to say something ugly to that person over there, or I can say something edifying to build them up. I can make a choice whether to go do something wrong, whatever it is. So you and I make choices. So if we choose to live a holy life before the Lord, we need to make sure we're doing the things that encourage that. In other words, we're spending time in the Word of God. We're spending time in prayer. We were talking in our men's Bible study yesterday morning, and two or three of those guys are here right now. And we were talking about, you know, we've got all this stuff going on in our world, and one of the, I like to call them brothers, one of the brothers brought up, okay, this is all well and good, but what do we do with that now? Well, we read this Bible and we do what it says. See how simple that is? Okay, we're done. Let's go. Yeah, read your Bible and obey what you read. The same thing goes for me. I open up the Word of God, I read it, and then obey it. I didn't say it was easy. I said it's simple. It's a simple concept, is it not? And so Paul's trying to get across to these people, Jesus died for you so that you have forgiveness of sin. You now have life change. So again, one of the problems, as we said earlier, that lost people in our world have is that we claim to be these wonderful Christian people, but we don't live differently. Well, that's a problem for us because we're not obeying what we read. So my encouragement to you, my encouragement to myself as well, is every time I open up the Word of God, which should be daily, I spend time with Him, I pray, I ask Him to forgive me of my sins, I ask Him to empower me with His indwelling Holy Spirit so that I can live this Christian life before a lost and dying world that's all around me. And then when God puts people in my path to share Christ, and the same thing with you, that we actually open up our mouths and tell them what Jesus has done for us. So that's my encouragement to you, and we're to prepare our minds for action in these first few verses. Verse 15, he's telling us, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance. It reminds me of that passage in Romans 12, 2, which is very similar. I'm going to read that to you. It goes like this: do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So years ago, I came across a translation of the Bible, and you may not know this, maybe you do. There are multiple translations out there. And there's one called the Phillips translation. You may have never heard of it. It's a little more obscure, if you will. But it takes that verse I just read, where it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but by the renewing of your mind. Here's what it says. It says, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. You know, in the manufacturing process, sometimes you have a mold, and whatever the material is that's being put in that mold, and then it's reproduced, and it may be on an assembly line and whatever, and they produce that product and ship it and sell it and all the things, because they have a mold of what that looks like. So you and I, we're told by the Phillips translation, again, by the Word of God, do not let this world and its sinful system squeeze us into its mold. Because if we allow that to happen, we're going to look like everybody else. We're going to act like everybody else. But by the renewing of your mind. How do I renew my mind? I read this book every day. I pray. I confess any known sin, repent of it, which means to turn away from it and follow Jesus and let Jesus lead me daily on where I go, what I do, who I talk to, and what I say to them. So we're supposed to be obedient children. He's called us to holiness. In the last part of verse 16, you shall be holy, for I am holy. It's a challenge, isn't it? Man, every time I turn on my TV, it's a challenge, isn't it? Every time I turn on the radio or some digital music or Apple this or iPod that, or do they still make iPods? Yeah, that's kind of old school, and sorry. I have a record player in my room. Do y'all have a record player? My wife bought me one, I think, for Father's Day a couple of years ago, and I'm looking at that thing. We're going backwards in time, although I have a lot of cool albums I like to put on there. But anyway, I digress. So we have to be careful what we're entertained by. But every time I turn on the TV, listen to something, whatever, I'm reminded by how God tells me to be holy, because everything around me certainly is not holy. So live a holy life before the Lord. All right, we're going to read starting in verse 17, go to this next section. And I've kind of titled this, I stole it, a subtitle sort of in my Bible and reworded it just a little bit. But verses 17 through 21, I'm calling this revere the Lord. It's some versions say fear the Lord. And that freaks people out because they think, I need to be scared of the Lord. Well, there's a healthy fear of the one who can take your soul, is there not? He can speak a word, man, we're out of here right now. Boom, boom, boom. There's a healthy fear of the one who created you, who spoke a word in this universe, poof, is here. Do you know how many billions of stars there are out there? And all these solar systems? I mean, who is this God who does that? That's who we're dealing with. There's a healthy fear of Him. There's a reverence for God. There should be. If we turn, we don't have time. If we turn to Isaiah chapter 6 And I might go there, who knows? But if we turn there, yeah, let's go there. I think we're going there. I hope I marked that in my Bible, did I? Well, I'm going to have to find it real quick. Isaiah 6, I should have marked this. But I found it quickly. Here we go. Check this out. This is not a definition, but man, what a picture of God Isaiah had. Look at this. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. Check that out. What do you see there? I see a lot of holiness. And if I'm Isaiah and I'm checking that out, I'm experiencing that, I'm like scared. And if we read the rest of the passage, we'll see what happened. He was very scared, but a lot of awe. That's the Lord we're talking about today in his holiness. So in this section, we're going to read verses 17 through 21. There's a certain amount of fear, but reverence for the Lord. Okay, so let's read that, starting in verse 17. "And if you address as Father, the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon earth." And you can also call that word awe, if you will. Awe, have a certain amount of awe and respect. Verse 18, "knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." Let that sink in. The blood of Christ. That was the purchase price for me and you. Our sins so horrible. Verse 24, "He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." So we were not redeemed with gold and silver. We weren't paid for with physical money. You know, you go to the store, or if you're like me, you shop on Amazon. I wonder if they'll give me because I'm sure millions are watching this right now online, so I wonder if they'll send me like a kickback because I said the word Amazon. But anyway, if you're like me, you're shopping on Amazon, something like that. And because that way it's really cool, I pay for it and they bring it to my house and I don't have to go, you know, to the store. So I like that. So if I'm buying something on Amazon, I pay for it. Of course, I'm using some kind of digital currency, if you will, as it's flowing through the internet and all, however that works. You smart people know that. I don't know that. But before all that happened, I would physically have to go to a store and pull out money. And there was a time, if you go back far enough, you could pull out some gold and silver and buy stuff. That stuff's perishable. You and I were not bought with that. We're bought with the blood of Jesus. Jesus died on a cross and took the punishment you and I deserve because our sin is so horrible before this holy God we've been talking about. Can't stand our sin in his presence. Can't stand it. So the only thing that would pay that fine, that would purchase us, was the blood of his son, Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. That's what and who we're bought with. So don't we owe him our allegiance? Don't we owe him living a holy life? Don't we owe him having a reverence and a awe and a certain level of fear of this God that holds us in the palm of his hand? And I love that passage in Revelation. I believe Sam said something about that yesterday in Bible study. You know, God holds us in the palm of His hand. Man, nobody can snatch us out of the Father's hand. Isn't that cool? Nothing happens to us that doesn't first flow through to God. God then decides whether that's going to come on down to us. And we go through this life, and sometimes things, you know, at least the way we construe them, our circumstances may be negative. But it's okay when we're in the palm of God's hand. So we want to live a holy life. And we want to have reverence and awe and fear for this God who gave us life and redeemed us. And Jesus shed His blood. And then, you know what you and I do? We go dabble with sin. We dabble with it. We play with it. Ha, 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 ha. You know? What we do, what we look at, what we think about, what we say, where we go, this, you know, all the things. That's what we do sometimes, don't we? And when we're convicted by the Holy Spirit, man, when I read the word, gee whiz, I'm convicted. When I'm standing up here and, you know, our worship team is leading us in worship and leading us in the throne room of God, and we're singing about holiness and holy is the Lord. Man, I'm standing there and I'm convicted of my sin. And I hope you are too. Because God calls us to holy living, holy lives. We need to revere the Lord. We need to ignore the demands of the world. And we need to live in holiness. And this faith comes and this hope comes through the work of Jesus on the cross. Because when you've read that, when you've read the account of the crucifixion, at some point when it's right at the end, Jesus says, "It is finished." And He gave up His spirit and He died. And He defeated death. He defeated sin. He gave us the opportunity to defeat sin in our own lives if we only follow the Lord, obey what we read, and do what He says and not what somebody in Hollywood says. I don't really care. I don't care who their political person is, or they're this or they're that. Why do I want to listen to someone who's been married 15 times? You know, and all the stuff that goes along with that. Sorry if I stepped on your toes, if I hurt your feelings over your favorite Hollywood character or whatever. Let's move on. Last section, love one another, verses 22 through 25. Live a holy life, revere the Lord, and then love one another. Verse 22, it goes like this: "Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and abiding Word of God." Verse 24, "For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the Word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the Word which was preached to you." Sometimes I'm unlovable. I know this shocks you. Ask my wife. You know what? Sometimes you're unlovable. But yet God tells me to love you anyway. God tells you to love me anyway. Right? Because if I'm loving God like I should, I can't help but love people around me, especially my family and people like that. But that extends beyond that. You know, the Jews had a problem with that. You know, they thought it was cool to love another Jew, but to love a Gentile or a Samaritan or somebody like that, are you kidding me? We ain't doing that. They're a bunch of sinners. As if the Jew speaking that was not a sinner. And we do the same thing, you know, in our piety, being pious, you know. Well, I love those I want to love, but that one over there, I'm not loving that one. They did me wrong. Well, God says I'm supposed to love him anyway. So look at this verse, that verse 17. This is verse 17. If you really pay attention to this, it'll rock your world just a little bit. Okay, let's look at this. Not 17, 22, my bad. Verse 22. "Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren." Do you have a sincere love for the brethren? You know, one of those definitions would be the people in this room. You and I should have a sincere love for each other. Because just the fact that you're here today means at least you have an interest in the things of God, or else your spouse or your girlfriend or somebody drug you in here and you agreed to come. But, you know, whatever your deal is, you know, you're here. So at least for this moment, you're a brethren and a sistern. Sistern, is that a word? We need to love the brothers and the sisters. That should be a lot easier for us. Fervently love one another from the heart. There used to be a song. Well, there still is a song. It's just an old song. They'll know we are Christians by our love. That's actually in the Bible. That's a quote from the Word. But you want me to sing? No, I know you don't. How do you know someone's a believer? A lot of it is the fruit that they produce. If I go plant an apple tree, I'm expecting to get apples, not oranges. If I claim to be a believer, if I claim to be a Christ follower, then you should know that I'm going to act like that. So I should be somewhat lovable in that way. It's easier to love the ones that you like. It's easier to love your family and, you know, people that you're your buddies or family members or whatever. It's harder to love the ones who just aren't always too lovable. But we're called to love fervently. And the only way we can do that is when Jesus invades our life. We turn our lives over to Him. And this Holy Spirit indwells us, lives inside us. He changes our heart from within, gives us the ability to do that. So if I get that vertical relationship with God the way it should be, if I'm loving God like I should be, this vertical relationship with the Lord, if I'm doing that, then I can't help but love people around me. If I find out that I can't love people around me and the brothers and the sisters in the church especially, if I can't do that, that's because my vertical relationship with God's messed up somewhere. I need to fix something. I need to get on my knees and repent of that because something in my life has made me mad against somebody. So brothers and sisters today, let's love the Lord like we should. Because if we do, then we'll love one another. That's where it starts. So as we're coming to a close, just kind of putting a bow on this, if you will. If you like that phrase, I like that phrase. We'll put a little bow on it. So in light of living in holiness, having reverence for the Lord, and loving one another, and thinking how that affects you today, and what your life looks like. So now I'm going to ask you a question. Now what about you? Are you living a holy life before the Lord? Are you revering the Lord? Are you loving one another? And if your answer to any of those, maybe all of them, is no, man, this is your opportunity right now to bow your head and confess that before the Lord and ask Him to forgive you and turn your life around. Same thing for me. I have to examine my life. I have to let the Holy Spirit go through my heart and my mind and all those things. And if there's anything there that I'm guilty of, I need to confess and repent of that. What would your life look like if you lived a holy life before your spouse, your wife, your husband, your kids, your coworkers, your neighbors? What would that be like? What if when you walk down the street in your neighborhood or wherever you live, people said, hey, there comes so-and-so, man, they're living for the Lord, I can tell. What would your life be like if you really loved those around you? What would it look like if we as Tylertown Church lived holy lives unto Jesus and we didn't care what everybody thought about that? Because we were more concerned about what Jesus thought than what everybody out there thought. What would that be like for our church? What if our church, all of us together in this room, what if we left this place and we were going to live holy lives, revere the Lord, love one another? And I'm talking about radical love, where we're serving people. What would that look like for this church? Would that change this church? I bet you it would. If every one of us committed today that we're going to leave this place and show radical love to other people, it would change this church and it would change people around us.